Welcome to the Gut Matters podcast with Casa de Sante, the virtual gut clinic. Today, Julia Negron, registered dietitian with Casa de Sante, talks about exercise and IBS and answers your questions.
Negron, I'm a registered dietitian. I've been a registered dietitian for many years, since 1991, and I have worked in many different positions as a dietitian in hospitals, clinics, in medical sales, pediatrics, all kinds of different positions. And then I found out that I have celiac disease at a certain point. It was 2009. And at that point, due to my personal circumstances, I had to really look into gastrointestinal health. And then previously, I did learn a lot about probiotics in 2002 and 3, probiotics and the microbiome, through a job that I had where we were starting to sell products that had probiotics, brand new in the United States at that time, not new to the world though. And so really learned a lot about the microbiome at that point and how that works and how probiotics have such beneficial effects. And then in 2009, I had my experience with finding out I had celiac disease, and just at that point became really interested in gastrointestinal health and well-being and healing of the gut, and that's when I really started to focus on that part of the nutrition world, the nutrition and health in general, and specialize in that area. And today, what we'll be talking about is exercise and irritable bowel syndrome, managing symptoms, how to improve our quality of life with irritable bowel syndrome. And then there are a couple of questions that I have from the audience on our Facebook Live groups, and I'll address those questions. And then I'll introduce a mobile app that we have and tell you a little bit about that as well. So the outline today, we're going to start with a brief overview of irritable bowel syndrome in case you are new to the IBS world and the SIBO world, SIBO being small intestine bacterial overload. And so what we'll do is a brief overview of what IBS is, the importance of managing it with lifestyle modification, diet, medication, stress management, and exercise, but we'll focus on exercise and answer questions that are frequently asked about and wonder about that. As a brief overview of irritable bowel syndrome, it's a gut disorder characterized by recurring symptoms, abdominal pain, excessive bloating, changes in bowel frequency and form, gas, without the presence of abnormal pathology. That makes it a little bit vague in terms of diagnoses, and that in itself can be frustrating. And a lot of times it is the go-to bucket for gastrointestinal diagnoses if they don't know what else is going on. So it's a common condition, worldwide prevalence being about 10 to 23% of people overall have IBS. The common symptoms, like I said a little bit ago, cramping, bloating, gas, pain in the abdomen, diarrhea, constipation, urgency during bowel movements, feeling of incomplete emptying, and mucus in the stools. So these are the common symptoms. They vary in intensity and duration. They can be very unpredictable and sporadic. And these symptoms, to be diagnosed with IBS, they must be present for 6 months, occurring at least once a week, just so you know. There are many ways that we can manage irritable bowel syndrome after you find out that you do have irritable bowel syndrome by seeking health care, whether a lot of people start with their primary care provider and then go to gastroenterologist, a GI doctor, they're called. So GI doctors really are the specialists in this area. My recommendations would be to go to a GI specialist. So they can do testing to different scoping and testing to do to make sure that it's irritable bowel syndrome and not something else. So I wouldn't just live with it. I would definitely make sure to rule it out. Rule out other diagnoses potentially. So management of irritable bowel syndrome, it can be very frustrating because, like I was saying earlier, it can be unpredictable, sporadic, and vague, difficult to tie down to any kind of cause. So in that sense, improving your quality of life and really a comprehensive approach leads to lifestyle modification. And what I mean by that is really our bodies like to be on certain routine cycles and routine ways of sleeping, eating, stress management, hydration. Avoiding triggers can be really important. Avoiding caffeine, alcohol, smoking is even more crucial when you have irritable bowel syndrome. Everything seems to affect the gastrointestinal tract. So that's why we need to manage as much as possible with lifestyle modifications. We have our nervous system, isn't just in our brain and down our spine, but we have a lot of nerve endings in the gut. In fact, that's like the second most area of nerves that we have. And that's why when we get nervous, it really affects our gut. And that's where a lot of the terms come from. I have a gut feeling about things, and it really is real. So managing stress, and we'll get to that in a minute. Diet is important. There are different ways of dealing with IBS. The main way that we've determined at this point in time, as far as those of us professionally, we concentrate on the irritable bowel syndrome, the low FODMAP diet. And the low FODMAP diet really limits the intake of certain carbohydrates that are from FODMAPs, fructooligosaccharide, and other types of carbohydrates that trigger these symptoms and are in various different foods, so that we can, that's a whole other topic in itself that we could get into. But really, a dietitian that specializes in the low FODMAP diet is really helpful for this, because it can be really hard due to the cumulative effect of foods, the delayed reaction, and tolerance levels that are different for everyone that you work with a professional. You could be on medication depending on the symptoms. There are antidiarrheal. There could be antibiotics involved, several different types of medications. That's not my area of expertise. I do know quite a bit about food-drug interactions, though, when it has to do with, that's one of the things we look at, what medications you're on, because that can change how you tolerate foods and the symptoms. There are over-the-counter soothers like peppermint oil, laxatives, but really consulting with a healthcare provider can be really important there. You don't want to just do that yourself. Stress management, we talked about the nerve endings, and so stress can exacerbate IBS. If you wonder, why do I have IBS? Maybe do you get stressed easily, type A personality, taking on too much, not having balance in lifestyle, downtime, enough downtime, things like that can really make a difference. And even if you don't have an imbalance in life, maybe it's just the way we're wired. Who knows? But techniques in deep breathing, meditation, cognitive behavioral therapy to teach yourself with a therapist how to rethink and different perspectives to help reduce stress we put on ourselves by the way we think. Gut-directed hypnotherapy is something that's out there. And all of these can reduce stress. The main stress reliever to me, though, and the topic of this conversation is exercise. So exercise regularly, depending on, and I know everyone's different, and some people may have had injuries in the past and abilities that differ, of course. And when I talk about exercise, I'm not talking about having to be anything in particular, one thing. It could be a few different things. And so you may want to, if you don't do routine exercise at this point, you may want to consider, and I'll be talking about why exercise to consider that. Even if you do have some past injuries, if your capability isn't 100%, there are ways to work activity in to our lifestyle and movement that can help. It doesn't have to be just all out exercise. It could be gentle movement that will help reduce stress. It helps the physical environment for you're moving your body, and that helps with digestion as well. So regular exercise improves digestion. Research shows that. Reduces stress and promotes overall feeling of wellness and well-being. So incorporating that is so important. And we always say, check with your healthcare provider before you do start an exercise routine. That being said, there are a lot of scientific studies. I just want to review a few about the role of exercise in managing irritable bowel syndrome. And exercise has a role in managing a lot of different types of diseases, and even for somebody who's got no diseases, no bowel symptoms or anything, routine exercise is recommended. But especially when you have motility issues and just different types of GI issues, exercise can be very important. Some people think that it may be bad, but we'll be addressing that in a minute. So first of all, scientific studies, one was made by Malachi 2018, a randomized controlled trial investigated the effects of low to moderate intensity aerobic exercise on IBS. And it found that regular aerobic exercise really improved IBS symptoms, reduction in inflammation, antioxidant capacity, and overall very helpful. Johansson, 2015, examined the long-term effects of physical activity intervening in IBS symptoms, and they increased their exercise for 12 weeks. The researchers had the study participants do that, and they experienced significant improvements in various areas of quality of life. Daily in 2008. Again, they looked at yoga intervention with IBS symptoms, and they're in not just IBS, but folks with anxiety disorders, like clinical anxiety. And this study suggests that yoga as a form of exercise has very beneficial effects as well. Denise in 2004 is another study that explored the relationship of physical activity with IBS and showed that higher levels of physical activity reported fewer IBS symptoms. So there was a direct relationship of increased intensity exercise and routine amount of exercise and lowering the IBS symptoms gradually in that study. So these are the top studies that show beneficial effects significantly. Just wanted to touch on that real quick because we do like to look at evidence-based information, everything that we talk about with you. Why Why does exercise help? What is it about exercise that is so special or so important? It gives everyone, really, if you especially go for 20-minute cardio, whether it's taking a 20-minute walk, whatever type of exercise you enjoy the most. That's what I would investigate. Do you enjoy bike riding? Types of cardio exercise. There are two types of exercise. There's cardio, and then there's, which is aerobic and good for your heart. Then there's anaerobic and strength training, weightlifting, things like that, and calisthenics. So the cardio type, where you do walking, bike riding, swimming, jump rope, there are different types of cardio. You're getting your heart rate up. And especially if you do that for 20 minutes or more, you'll feel that the effect of well-being onset even more so than if you do 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so. So maintaining for 20 minutes or more of what you enjoy, picking what you enjoy is really important, because just like changing our diet, we want to change a habit that will be sustainable, that we can do for the long term. So picking something you enjoy is very important. And mood enhancing, increasing your energy level, reducing fatigue are all side effects. What happens is when we sustain exercise, especially for 20 minutes or more, our brain has a chemical reaction where it just secretes a neurotransmitter chemical called dopamine. And dopamine has a powerful effect. Have you ever heard of runner's high and how some people are addicted to exercise? Some people, even with anxiety and depression at perhaps a low level, they may avoid medication because they do exercise, but they're addicted to that and really go after that feeling. So they're very routine, and if they miss their exercise, they really notice it. So it can be very important, especially for people who do experience a lot of stress and anxiety. Highly individualized, like I said, it's important to look at what you enjoy, what you can or can't do, what's safe, to find relief in low impact as we get older and our joints can't really tolerate jogging, for example. So it's crucial to listen to your body and work with your abilities to create a routine. If you need a professional's help with that, it's a really good idea. I know I always talk about exercise when I talk with clients and patients about their dietary needs. Exercise always comes into the equation because of how important it is. Exercise promotes movement in your intestines. It reduces bloating and constipation, because when you're, say, after you eat, there's the digestion part of what we're activity. So we have our intestines and our small and large and our bowel. Anyway, it does peristalsis, this motion. And food goes through and gets digested. It starts at the mouth. So it's important to really chew food well to start out with. And in our saliva, we have enzymes. In our digestive tract, it goes down into our digestive tract where we have enzymes. But also it's the physical movement. And really, when you take walks or bike ride or swim and your body's moving, it really helps with that peristalsis to move with it. And when I walk, I try to really do the aerobic style walking with going back and forth with my hips, because I notice personally, if I don't take a walk after dinner, that I just feel blah, everything's sitting there like a rock. So what happens is if you do sit a lot, if you're traveling, constipation is really common with travelers. That's why is sitting a lot in the same place and not moving enough doesn't help the body move everything through. So gut motility improvement, especially with IBS, but also with SIBO, gut motility is an issue. So regular physical activity for you can be really important. It moves the food through your digestive tract, alleviates constipation and some of the symptoms that you experience with IBS. So that's a little bit behind that. Exercise reduces stress and anxiety, both of which exacerbate IBS. And one of the reasons is I just talked about dopamine for a minute and endorphins. The release of those endorphins, they're natural moods. They elevate your mood and keep your stress level at a lower level. So that's why that's a benefit of exercise. Exercise helps balance the gut bacteria. Now, how would exercise do that? It promotes overall gut health and enhanced immune function. And it does that by reducing the inflammation in the gut and increased serotonin and dopamine. Endorphins are increased when we do physical activity. And what that does is it helps with the immune function in the abdomen and reduces pain and discomfort over time. Now, will it happen just like this as soon as you start a routine and you haven't for a while? No, it may take, who knows, a week or two to start noticing the difference, but you'll notice the difference for sure. Now, sometimes we'll have concerns about exercise due to different, will it exacerbate my symptoms? And it can be challenging if you're having a flare. So I want to address a few of those concerns having to do with exercise. So what if I'm having a flare-up? Should I exercise or should I rest? So intense workouts or sudden changes in activity levels while you're having can trigger IBS symptoms. It can make it difficult during this time to establish an exercise routine. So during a flare-up, to prevent a flare-up, I should say, you want to go into an exercise routine slow and sure, going with, again, your abilities and your likes as far as what you like to do, what you choose to do to avoid having a flare-up. You don't want to all of a sudden just do intense workouts and make sudden changes in your activity level. You want to just work up to it. Fear of triggering a reaction can cause a reaction. That anxiety and increased cortisol can discourage you from participating in activities. So again, that really relates to the importance of easing into it and not just doing something, going into it too heavy. Finding the right exercise. It's highly individualized. We all have our likes and dislikes. And so we want to make sure that we've picked the right types of exercises. If we get bored easily, maybe we need to vary our routines. Balance the intensity is another important thing. And striking the right balance of overdoing versus not doing enough. Just make sure that you're balancing the intensity. It's a good idea to have access to a restroom when you're exercising, because especially those of us with predominantly IBSD, diarrheal symptoms, we might find that after we exercise, we have to go. And so make sure you have access to restrooms. You may want to talk to your healthcare provider first about exercise, but it really can be beneficial and safe for you. So start slow. The best way to do it safely is to start slow. Do low impact. Low impact means you're not pounding the pavement and running necessarily. Going for a walk is low impact. Going swimming is low impact. There's no pressure on the joints and pressure on your GI tract, up and down movement that's really jarring your body would not be safe. So low impact, and then gradually increasing intensity and time that you work out. So again, swimming, yoga, Pilates, walking are very low impact. Listen to your body. So as you're adjusting to a routine, listen to your body. If one kind of activity or exercise triggers some symptoms, then don't give up. Just change it out and try something a little different. Avoid high intensity workouts during flare-ups. That's important. During a flare-up, doing like HIIT training, high intensity interval training, long distance running, really can impair digestion because it blood flow. And blood flow is going to throughout the body and less so to the digestive tract. That can, during a flare-up, just doing gentle, low-impact activity. Manage your stress. Maybe during some exercise routines, you can incorporate breathing exercises and mindfulness, meditation can be part of your exercise routine. I like to do that personally during warming up. And then after I do aerobic walking, after I get back from aerobic walking, I do stretches. And during that time, it's very meditative, quiet time. Staying hydrated really can help. So drink plenty of water before, during, after, so that you're not becoming dehydrated, and it also helps digestion. So following those guidelines can really help in just establishing a routine for yourself. Some people worry about how exercise may mess with their intestinal tract, and I can relate to that. Exercise in general is not harmful for people with IBS. In fact, the opposite. Moderate, low impact shows a lot more benefits. Like I just said, choosing those low impact, starting slow and gradually increasing, listening to your body, avoiding high intensity during flare-ups, all of those are important while you're establishing your routine. Some people find that IBS symptoms go away when they stop exercising, and how to manage that. Well, is it that they're doing too high of an intensity exercise at that time? That might be something to look at. If you're a long distance runner, that might be something to look at. So intense exercises divert blood flow away from the GI tract, impairs digestion during that time. It may increase stress depending on the exercise and the circumstance. So to manage this situation, if you notice, if you're you like to be involved in exercise routinely and you find that it increases your IBS symptoms, try choosing lower impact exercises. And the steps that I talked about just a minute ago, starting slow, listening to your body, managing stress during the exercise, and staying hydrated. You may want to check with your doctor about that, why that might be happening. Don't ignore it. So it's important. You don't want to overexert yourself either. So the best way to go about exercise is to have a warm-up and a cool-down phase before and after. So before, it's important to warm your body up so you're increasing your heart rate, blood flow gradually so that your body is ready to do a workout or an exercise. So what warming up does is it warms up your muscles, which helps the muscle elasticity. So your muscles may go from being just not moving and maybe not very flexible, to if you do all of a sudden do break out in a run from sitting, that is a shock to your muscles. You want to warm your muscles up so they're more elastic and flexible. You want to avoid hurting yourself, pulling a muscle. Also improves your joint mobility. Sometimes, especially as we get older and have arthritis, we're stiff and we need to move a little bit to release that stiffness. And it increases the blood flow. And warming up mentally prepares you that you're going to be doing a routine. So you could see how important it is to warm up beforehand. And then after a proper warm-up of around 5 to 10 minutes or so, you want to do your walking or whatever you choose to do for your cardio, and then cooling down. So cooling down after exercise is just as important as the warm-up before exercise. So cooling down helps your body gradually return to the resting state. It helps prevent dizziness. If you stop exercising all of a sudden and just stop, sometimes the blood flow is so fast and everything that you become dizzy. So it's important to cool down. Cooling down reduces muscle soreness. So you stretch while you're cooling down, and you can definitely find stretches on different exercise sites, but stretching the parts of your body that you've just worked out is important so that you don't get muscle tightness, pull a muscle easily the next time you go out to do some exercise. So you want to keep your muscles as flexible as possible, as well as your joints. And just, it really decreases any kind of muscle soreness due to starting exercise, especially if it's a new type of exercise. You'll notice that having some muscle soreness is not a bad sign. It's actually just a sign that you've worked out those particular muscles. But you do reduce the soreness by cooling down and stretching. It promotes relaxation. So exercise can be very relaxing because of the endorphins and dopamine and everything, and that feeling of well-being. It can really promote relaxation, but cooling down allows that to happen even more so, like settling your heart rate down gradually and returning breathing to normal. It reduces the amount of lactic acid buildup in your muscles. So that's how it reduces the muscle soreness. So a proper cool down lasts about 5 to 10 minutes as well as a warm up. So say you want to do a 20 minute bit of exercise routine, then just know that it, you know, will probably take around 30 minutes at least, 30 to 40 minutes if you count in the warming up, the exercise itself, and then the cooling down phase. So that can make it really work well for you, be safe, and avoiding any injuries to your muscles. The next point is about really paying attention to tailor your exercise to your own individual needs, your symptoms, your tolerance levels. So that's an important thing, is how to relieve IBS symptoms that occur after exercise. Hydration is one thing. Dehydration exacerbates irritable bowel syndrome. So drinking plenty of water is important. Doing the relaxation techniques can reduce IBS symptoms after you exercise. Gentle stretching, we just talked about that. Heat therapy. Heat therapy can be important, like a heating pad, a warm towel can soothe your abdomen, the muscles there, and reduce the tension and relax your muscles. So if you're having any abdominal pain or cramping after exercise, applying heat can really help. Peppermint oil is another way to help alleviate IBS symptoms. Enteric coated peppermint oil capsules are usually work the best. So you can usually find those at different pharmacies. Adjusting your exercise. If you consistently experience IBS symptoms after exercising, maybe there needs to be modifications in the type or intensity of your workout. And if you need any help with that, make sure to get help with ideas to help modify your exercise. Make sure to monitor your diet, making sure that you identify dietary triggers that may be contributing to post-exercise symptoms. You may want to adjust any pre or post meal to minimize the triggering of symptoms. So those are important considerations. Maintaining proper hydration, nutrition, and rest is critical for everyone, but especially when you have irritable bowel syndrome, it's important to have adequate hydration for proper bowel movements, proper nutrition, well-balanced diet, not skipping meals, maybe eating low FODMAP foods, depending on what your circumstances are. Be cautious, though, with energy drinks and sports nutrition products, Gatorade, the energy bars. They make and often do contain high FODMAP ingredients. They may have sugar alcohols in them. So make sure that if you have any sports nutrition products, that they're low FODMAP. And then getting plenty of rest is important. The next question that is common about exercise is, since I have IBS, what are the best types of exercises for me? Even with abdominal discomfort, what should I do? Basically, strengthening your core muscles. Abdominal exercise can help strengthen your core muscles, your abs. They support your spine and your overall posture, and a strong core, strong abs can alleviate some of the discomfort and better help you to evacuate, to stool as well. If your abs are weak, then you might have a harder time. So abdominal exercises, going back to the peristalsis and digestion, abdominal exercises help move that so it can stimulate bowel movements. If you're having trouble moving your bowels, maybe you need to get up and walk around a bit or something to help the natural movement of your gut. That would help stimulate a bowel movement. Again, reducing stress is important too. So all of those things are important, especially when you have IBS in exercising. So I want to review something, a case study. It's basically a question that I had from someone. In this case, this is not their real name, but say Chris weighs 185 pounds and wants to start an exercise program using a cycle ergometer. It can be a great option. It's a low impact form of cardio. It's safe and suitable. Before you exercise, you always want to make sure that you check with your doctor, especially if you have pre-existing medical conditions. But here are some tips for starting a cycle ergometer exercise program. After you consult with your doctor that it's okay to do that, you just start gradually. Begin with short sessions of moderate intensity, low intensity to moderate, and then gradually increase duration and intensity as you go, warming up and cooling down, monitoring your progress. It can be very motivating to see I feel better and better. I'm able to cycle longer and longer. And just that kind of what's stimulating, motivating, competitive, you compete with yourself, can add another layer of just enjoyment to your life overall. But listen to your body, pay attention how you feel before, during, and after workouts. And if you experience pain and discomfort, then stop the exercise and pay attention to what you need at that point. Maybe you pushed it the day before or a couple days before. What I notice is, and I know this from exercise physiology, it takes a couple days, like 48 hours, to really feel like a muscle soreness. Say you do some weightlifting, some biceps, you may not feel the muscle soreness the next day, but 2 days later, you probably will feel it. And again, some muscle soreness is actually good because that means your body is working on that muscle to strengthen it. So it's not a bad thing. Don't be afraid of some pain in the muscle. It's a good thing. Let's see. So those are all considerations and really how exercise benefits overall symptoms with IBS. It can relieve IBS by promoting regular bowel movements, reducing stress, reducing anxiety, and it really does help balance the gut bacteria, the microbiota. It can enhance your overall body health and immune system. It can alleviate depression and anxiety due to the endorphins and the feeling of well-being. Exercise does not mess with your intestines in a negative way. If it's too high intensity, it diverts the blood flow. So that may not be comfortable, but it's not going to necessarily do damage, at least to your intestines. So you can exercise when you have IBS, but just be careful. Just make sure you adjust based on your symptoms, that you're in touch with your body and what's happening with your body as you go along. Make sure to hydrate, balance your meals, get plenty of rest. Those are all basic needs that we all need to do. And choosing the right kinds of exercise that you enjoy doing, that you can really dig into as far as establishing a routine, and how really exercise, especially for people with IBS, can be very important in several different ways. Consider walking. It's low intensity. It helps intestinal contractions and alleviate constipation. Yoga stretches your body. It reduces stress, and poses may ease digestion. Tai Chi, Pilates, swimming, cycling, dancing, aerobics, can all be fun and very beneficial. Light resistance training, like strength training exercises, can always help, especially with your ab muscles. And then stretching, cooling down and warming up and cooling down to make sure that you don't injure a muscle or a muscle group, so that you can maintain your routine that you established in the first place. So those are all really ways of incorporating exercise into your lifestyle, and it can be very rewarding, addicting in a good way, and really help with managing your symptoms. I know I do. I was very active when I was young, playing soccer, hurt my knee really bad. I've had 2 knee surgeries. So I have to do low impact. And my low impact of choice is I like to be outside. I don't like to be in a gym. Some people do, and that's fine. You have to just individualize whatever your likes and dislikes are. So I choose to walk, aerobic walk. And just the general, say you look up in exercise in the USDA, what their overall basic recommendations is for cardio to do around 150 to 300 minutes a week. So that could be 30 minutes, 5 days a week to 60 minutes, 5 days a week. It could be less than that if you do it 7 days a week. It could be more than that if you do it 3 days a week. But those are the recommendations that are just very general, 150 to 300 minutes per week. So changing the topic just for a few minutes, because we only have a few more minutes, I did get a question on the Facebook site. What are the best low FODMAP cookbooks that can help you create delicious, gut-friendly meals? And so I looked that up, and I want you to know, first of all, that Casa de Sante, if you go on casadesante.com, you can really look up some recipes that are really wonderful and helpful for you. Let me see. We have a new app, for a fitness app for Casa de Sante that I want to share with you. It's a mobile fitness app. Let's see. So to share that, let's see. Is there somewhere where I can attach it so everyone can see it? Oh, it's on here. Okay. On the Casa de Sante, if you see the screen, you can see the mobile fitness app that can be really helpful in establishing a fitness program. So if you go on, you see the yellow tape, it says Casa de Sante fitness app, and it gives you the website. Go there and you can download the mobile fitness app to help you in establishing a fitness routine. Great. Going back to the cookbooks, if you go on Casa de Sante, they have excellent recipes. You can actually even make your own recipe and if you click on the recipe tab, and it has an AI feature where you put in your preferences, your allergies, your dietary restrictions, and you can make your own recipe within seconds. And it also prints out a shopping list for you. It gives you the cooking directions and all that kind of thing. Then there's the low FODMAP recipe cookbook by Jody Garlick, RD, registered dietitian. There's the low FODMAP cookbook by Heather Crawford. The low FODMAP vegetarian cookbook by Jody Garlick, RD. And low FODMAP and vegan by Joe Stepaniak. Healthy Gut, Flat Stomach by Danielle Kapal. So those are some cookbooks so that you can create delicious and gut-friendly meals. And like I said, on the Casa de Sante app, there's our website. You can go to the recipe, click on recipes. If you want to make yourself a 7-day meal plan, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 7 days, you can even do that. Under meal plans, there's an AI feature. You put in all your dietary needs and everything, preferences, and you can print out a 7-day meal plan for yourself as well. So check out the AI features for recipes, meal plans, and the mobile fitness app as well to establish a fitness program. I enjoyed being here with you today, and I hope to see you again soon. We like to do these live events occasionally, and I'll see you on the Facebook group as well. And we have other registered dietitians, but you might be seeing me if you're signing up to see a dietitian as well on our site. I hope if you have any questions, just let us know. Contact us via the website, and we'll answer, or the Facebook group, and we'll answer those questions, okay? I hope you enjoyed it, and you have a great day, and ease into your exercise program. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Find out more about today's guest and episode in the show notes at Casa de Sante's website, www.casadesante.com.